100 years ago, you didn't see much cancer in humans. You didn't see much cancer in animals. This huge rise, I think it was one in 100 about a century ago. So what has caused this dramatic increase in the rates of cancer? Well, you have to look at something other than genetics. Genetics don't change to that extent in 2.5 generations. What affects our genes? Vaccines, the foods that we're eating, toxicity in our lives.
All right, welcome folks to today's interview. Do you have a dog or a cat or another beloved pet? I certainly do. My dog, Rhodey, he's sleeping right there, always with me here in the studio. And, you know, unfortunately, because of all the mass vaccination of pets today and the toxicity of pet food in many cases and a lot of pharmaceuticals, our dogs and cats tend to get cancer far too early, and it's not natural. It's actually induced by the toxic vaccines and all the toxins that are in the food, et cetera. That's why it's, you know, critical to think about clean medicine and clean food for your pets. But is there a way to prevent and reverse cancer in your pets? Here today to help answer that question is the co-creator of the series, The Truth About Pet Cancer. And we're going to be streaming this for free coming up at brightyou.com. And of course, I'm joined by Ty Bollinger, the creator of The Truth About Cancer and The Truth About Vaccines. So welcome, Ty, and I'm so glad you're tackling this topic today, because what's the deal? Why are so many, especially dogs, they end up with so many tumors when they get older? That doesn't seem natural. What's your take on the big picture here?
It's not. It's very similar. And thanks, by the way, for having me on, Mike. I always enjoy chatting with you about things, but very similar to human cancers. 100 years ago, you didn't see much cancer in humans. You didn't see much cancer in animals. And now we see a skyrocketing rate of human cancer. And we also see, I think, one in 1.65 dogs as of 2025 will get cancer, one in three cats.
Wow.
So why this huge rise? I think it was one in 100 about a century ago for both pets. So what has caused this dramatic increase in the rates of cancer? Well, you have to look at something other than genetics, right, Mike? Because genetics don't change to that extent in 2.5 generations.
Right.
Something else must have impacted the genetics. And that's where we get into the field of epigenetics. What affects our genes? And that is toxicities that you just mentioned, Mike, vaccines, the foods that we're eating, humans and pets. That's caused the rise in cancer in both species. Is toxicity in our lives.
I noticed too that, you know, feeding a pet a healthy food can be very, very expensive. And as a result, a lot of people choose lower cost options. Mm-hmm. And of course, since I have several dogs, I feed them, you know, premium food. But I noticed that if you go to the pet food store, there's always like a 60-pound bag of like dirt cheap dog food kibble. And it's always made with rice and corn and stuff. Like, wait a second. I've never seen dogs out there, you know, chewing corn cobs and eating rice in a rice patty. That doesn't seem natural. So how much of the dietary imbalance also feeds into the cancers?
Yeah, that's a huge part of it. Just like with humans, it's the same with pets. They're eating things they shouldn't be eating. And unfortunately with pets, they don't have a choice, right? They eat what you feed them. So we have a lot of responsibility to feed our pets good things. Now, I do understand, you know, pet food's expensive. Regardless of what Trump tells you right now, inflation's going through the roof. Things are more expensive. You know, he's like the FBI after JFK. You didn't see what you saw. And Trump's like, you're not spending what you're spending. You're really more well off than you think you are. Now, I know things are expensive now. But, you know, there's things that you can do to help improve kibble. You know, for instance, most kibble is, like you said, corn, rice, grains.
Soy, often.
A lot of soy. A lot of genetically modified ingredients as well. So just not great food for them. But you can improve it. If you don't have the money to just get a completely organic or go feed them raw food. I mean, eggs, organ meats, raw food, raw meats are best for dogs, but you may not be able to afford it. So you can mix that in with a kibble with less additives and preservatives, more meat than rice. And then you can add raw eggs, just cut up a little bit of meat or some ground meat and put it in there with it. I like to add enzymes and probiotics into it. So there's, and some people cut up broccoli, cut up different vegetables and add it into their kibble. As long as you add meat and eggs with it, they'll eat all of it. Dogs, mm-hmm. especially I'm speaking of. So there's ways that you can improve the diet. And I would recommend that you do that. Cats are a little bit more difficult. They're very finicky. You know, certain cats have been eating just a certain kind of kibble their whole life. It's like they thumb their nose at raw fish. Or it's kind of bizarre the way cats act sometimes. But there's different ways you can improve diets.
Well, let me mention some of the things that I add to my dog's food. And of course, I add fresh eggs because I raise chickens and we have eggs every day. So they're getting eggs a lot. I also add a ground up kelp because I want the seaweed, which has its own anti-cancer properties, as you know. You know, in addition to that, there are many different supplementary things. You mentioned some like chopped meats, et cetera, or you mentioned eggs. But what I notice that my dogs do is they go out and they find like dead deer bones, for like fresh deer bones. And the other day, one of my dogs, not Rhodey, but one of my other dogs, the more annoying dog, literally dragged in the upper half of a hog's head with the snout. It was just the upper half of the snout and the head. And I'm like, okay, don't bring that in. You can eat that outside. And he did over about a day. He ate the brains and he ate everything out of that hog's head. I'm like, oh God. But that's actually natural. I mean, that's what dogs do in the wild. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, it's interesting that when you leave left on their own, they won't just necessarily, they will definitely go for an animal over vegetables, for sure. Yeah. They'll go over any kind of meat over vegetables, despite what I've seen on one of the local, it was a national show where this girl came on and she said, pets should be vegan. And she tried to feed her dog. And it was like this taste test with a dog. And she goes, oh, he'll go for the vegan food. He went straight for the meat, of course. But yes. Dogs and animals will always go for meat. But when if something dead in the wild, they'll go for the organ meat and the intestines and those kind of things first over what we would look at, you know, is the go for the leg meat or go for the breast or whatever. They go for the organs because that's where the nutrition is in the meat.
Yeah, exactly. Now, there are some other things. For example, I feed my dogs occasionally brown seaweed extract, Modafinil. And there's some other anti-cancer nutrients that I feed them from time to time. What have you found in your documentary, if you want to just share a couple of things, that are specifically anti-cancer type of nutrients that people can add to the dog food?
Yeah, those are great question. It's one of the most important things that you can add. This wouldn't necessarily be something that you would add to the dog food. I mean, possibly you could, but cannabis is something that you definitely can discuss with your vet about adding cannabis into the diet of one of your pets, your dogs.
Yes.
Like I said, you don't want to get the hallucinogenic effects, so it's something you would want to work with. But cannabis is number one in treating and preventing cancer across the board with humans and with pets. Cannabis is fantastic. That's why it's been demonized so much. That's why they talk about the devil's weed and all this stuff. Because it's so effective at cancer. But turmeric is something that's excellent to add to dog food, the root, the actual root itself.
But I would add, do that very sparingly because, you know, that can overpower dogs quite a bit. I mean, that would have to be pretty small.
It would have to be very small. You would just, what I would recommend, what we've done before is grate it up, just a little bit of grate, and you mix it in. I'm not talking about slices of it. Yeah. Just a little bit of turmeric grated in and mixed in. That's great to add. Medicinal mushrooms are really good.
Oh, yeah, good point.
We found that you can cut up shiitake or different types of mushrooms that you can get at the grocery store, cut them up real fine. You mix it in with dog food or with pet food. It's kind of the same consistency as the meat. They just gobble it up. And so medicinal mushrooms, definitely something you can add. As a matter of fact, you know, for those that are vegan, A lot of times they will use mushrooms as a meat substitute because it even looks alike and has the same consistency.
Yeah.
So that's something that you can definitely add. I'm trying to think other things that we can do. You know, one of the things that you can do for your pets is homeopathic remedies actually work really well with pets. And what I'm talking about is, let's say, this isn't cancer specific at all, but this is just a story that when we lived in Texas, our cat got attacked by the next door neighbor's dog, and it mauled our cat. This cat's name's Miracle. We brought Miracle down from Montana when we lived there. We brought Montana down to Texas. He got attacked by the dog, was just lying around in a pool of blood and couldn't move, couldn't hardly breathe. I mean, this cat was about to die. And Charlene got a hold of some Arnica Montana homeopathics and took about a dozen pills, shoved them down the cat's mouth. And within the next few hours, the cat got up and was walking around, and the cat's still with us today.
Wow.
That's just a story, not even cancer specific. There are anti-cancer homeopathics you can use, but pets respond very well to homeopathics, and they help to disprove that it's a placebo effect.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they don't know what you're doing, giving them. You know, there's no placebo effect with pets, but we've had instances where homeopathics have worked really well, especially with our cats.
So, absolutely. Anyway,
interesting right. story. Sorry, well, that, sorry
I want to mention
more there for so long.
Oh, no worries. All of this is covered and much more in the upcoming docuseries that begins streaming March 21st at brightu.com. That's the word bright, followed by the letter u.com. Now, you can register for it, though, right now, as you're seeing this. You can start to register. It's free to watch, free to participate, or you can optionally purchase it and download it and help support Ty's work and Charlene's work and our platform as well. So again, March 21st is when that begins streaming. I believe that's a Saturday. And it looks like there are 10 episodes that stream, and each one is of course packed with information. Now let me ask you about something that's considered even more radical, but I've seen it work in an extraordinary case, which is a DMSO taken orally combined with the blue dye known as hematoxylin. Now, hematoxylin is a dyeing agent that dyes cells, but it also starves cancer cells. And it was originally experimented on in veterinary medicine and in cattle, by the way, if you go back and read the original research on it. And it was found to be able to just really shrink the tumors down to almost nothing when taken orally. Well, about a year ago, someone I know had a dog that the vet had declared that the dog's just riddled with tumors, that dog's going to die. The tumors were so large, the dog couldn't eat. It just vomit all food. So that person put that dog on oral DMSO plus hematoxylin for about, I think, I don't know, 10 days or so. All of a sudden, the tumor shrank, the dog could eat again. And the dog began eating, the energy came back up, the dog was much more alive than before. Yeah, and now DMSO, you know, it's a penetrant solvent. It comes out of, I think, wood processing, it comes from trees. But this dye, hematoxylin, X-Y-L-I-N, hematoxylin, is really something special. But I only found out about it roughly a year ago. I don't know if you've even covered anything on that because it's not that well known. Have you heard about that?
You know, I've not covered anything on hematoxylin. I wasn't even familiar with it. We do cover DMSO as one of the potential treatments for cancer in both the pet and the human cancer series, but I'm not familiar with the hematoxylin. I am very familiar with DMSO being used kind of as a carrier for substances to help them get deeper into the bloodstream or into the tissue, whatever it may be. And I know that one of the things I covered in my first cancer book from 20 plus years ago now is called DMSO cesium chloride protocol. It's just a mixture of cesium chloride with DMSO. It's from Webster Kerr developed that. He was known as the cancer tutor for a long time. You're probably familiar with Webster. But that was one of his protocols that he had tremendous success using. So I know that DMSO is a good carrier. So if hematoxylin has anti-cancer effects, using it with DMSO as a carrier seems to be a very logical step.
It does. It is very powerful in its effects, and it appears to have no negative effects whatsoever it just stains cells, and then after a day or two, you know, that stain fades away. So you have to keep mm-hmm. retreating the animal, but it can really shrink tumors and extend the animal life and quality mm-hmm. of life at the same time. But here's the other question I have for you. You know, 10 years ago, when, or even 15 years ago, when you started doing the Truth About Cancer docuseries, this information was considered so radical that it would all be completely censored. Like, oh, no one's allowed to know that there are cancer cures. Mm-hmm. Today, it seems like it's a lot more common knowledge that there are cancer cures and that the medical establishment is a nightmare and that veterinary medicine is totally owned by Big Pharma at this point. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about how much has changed over these years where this is no longer a fringe conversation to have, is it?
No, it is funny. It has changed quite a bit, especially over the last decade.
Yeah.
You know, I remember much more, and I think maybe as a result of our docuseries, I think that's really helped.
Yeah,
I think
impact. That's
empowered the movement. But you know, our first docuseries, Quest for the Cures, you're my first interview ever for our first docuseries, Quest for the Cures, and you know that got out there. And it resonated with people. And then we did another docuseries. We did Quest for the Cures Continues and the Global Quest and Truth About Vaccines and then Pet Cancer and all these things. Each time, progressively, it seemed like the awakening was bigger and bigger and bigger, and the message got out there more and more and more. And I do believe that, you know, I'm thankful God used us. God used you, man. You've been one of the OGs of this movement, you know, to get this great awakening to happen as it is today. And I think that now, especially because of COVID and the way that they overstepped on COVID and just pushed and pushed and pushed, they woke up a lot of people, made people start questioning the medical establishment, the government that would have never questioned them before if they hadn't been so freaking greedy and tried to push so hard on COVID, and it backfired on them. And they caused what I think is the great awakening here, that people have waked up to the health tyranny that we're currently under, not just the other types of tyranny, but in the medical realm specifically. And so now the audience is really open to this, whereas 10 years ago, a lot of these treatments weren't as well known. You know, they're still pushing, if you're a veterinarian, you're still going to get pushed to do chemo, radiation, surgery. That's just because whether it's pharmaceutical companies that own the people doctors or the pet doctors, they're still getting kickbacks and money and paid and endorsements and free vacations from the pet food manufacturers and the pharmaceutical companies that make the drugs.
Yeah.
So they're always going to push those treatments.
I'm shocked at how much Big Pharma controls modern veterinary medicine and also the profiteering that's involved in it. So let me give you a specific example. Ivermectin, for example. Ivermectin has been known for decades as a heartworm prevention treatment for animals, right? You would take your dog to the vet and they'd say, oh, he needs a heartworm treatment. Oh, how much is that? Oh, it's, you know, $60 per dog. Gosh, $60. Okay. But, you know, don't want them to have heartworms. So you pay the $60. Well, it turns out that you can buy a whole vial, I mean, a bottle of ivermectin 1% solution online on Amazon. And the entire dose for a dog is just micrograms. So, you know, you take a pipette, you know, you do the math, you figure out the microliters equivalent to the micrograms, and you put it on their dog food. It's a few drops, cost mm-hmm. pennies. It's not $60. It's not even 6 cents. Okay. It's like 2 cents, but the markup in that is insane. And then that, as people come to realize that, they realize that veterinary medicine is also in many ways a racket. It's a financial racket that preys upon people's ignorance. You see that too?
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt. I mean, it's a racket, just like, you know, the pharmaceutical companies with humans, they create customers by causing symptoms from their treatments, right? Yeah. You'll take drug A and drug A fixes this or masks this, but causes two more symptoms, but don't worry, because we got a drug to treat symptom A and symptom B. And before you know it, it's like this pharmaceutical roulette, right? It's the same with pets, with the different medications and so forth. Something will be to prevent worms, but it'll cause side effects. And they can treat those dogs for that. So, you know, and then and the vaccines are the biggest generator, though, because, see, the vaccines, like in humans with pets, the vaccines cause problems. They cause immune dysregulation. they cause tumors. That's why, you know, Dr. John Robb is one of the experts that I interviewed for this pet cancer series. He's a veterinarian in the New England area, Boston area, I believe. Great guy too, just a wonderful man, loves pets. But he said, you know, one of the things that he started seeing as a veterinarian is that the where they would give the cats the vaccines, they used to give them in the scruff. And they started seeing sarcomas and cancers in the scruff where they had vaccinated the cats. And so, you know, he said the thing that bothered him, instead of trying to figure out, hey, are these vaccines causing those tumors in the scruff? Because at that point, it's a fatal tumor. Can't do much with a tumor right here on the head. But they started, instead of getting to the bottom of it, they transferred to the leg. And so now they inject cats in the leg. So that way, if they get the tumor on the leg, they can cut the leg off and the cat will still be alive so they can continue treating it for other stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just all profit driven, just like with humans. They look at pets as a recurring source of revenue if they can continue to treat them.
Yes, absolutely. And let's talk about, too, the fact that most of these anti-flea and anti-tick treatments cause cancer. So just what you said. And that's kind of like the way a human pediatrician doctor wants to bring the children back in always, you know, have more shots, more immunizations, because they know then that's going to cause other sicknesses, other immune mm-hmm. dysfunction, possibly yeah. liver disorders, autoimmune problems, cancers, et cetera. So that brings the kids back in the door. Same yeah. thing's true with a lot of veterinary practices, not all of them. There are holistic vets out there.
There are some good ones,
that do, and you've interviewed many of them for this docuseries. But it is a revenue model for many of them. And they harm your pets and then expect you to bring them back in for treatment that they...
Treatment that they caused.
That they caused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just thinking, you know, about pets and dogs and cats and what they have in common. And, you know, despite what President Trump has said about glyphosate being, you know, a matter of national security or whatever absurd thing he declared, you know, a week ago.
Yeah.
Glyphosate causes cancer, right? We know that from the lawsuits, the multitude of lawsuits about glyphosate. And here's the thing. And the World Health Organization, the WHO, in like 10 or 11 years ago, declared it to be a known or a probable human carcinogen and a known carcinogen in pets. So here's the thing. They knew at that point causes cancer in pets. Where do pets walk? They're inches off the ground. They're breathing glyphosate. They're breathing glyphosate fumes when they walk through a field that's been sprayed. They're right down there on it. And so that's another thing that I really believe is causing a lot of these cancers in pets now is the glyphosate that they're in all the time.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good point. And, of course, it saturates the food as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's in all their food. And so, you know, the thing is, it was a known carcinogen in pets 10 years ago.
Right. I did a lot of research on detoxing from glyphosate, and one of the key components that you need is sulfur. And that's why feeding fresh eggs to your dogs helps them have the sulfur that allows their liver to detox and eliminate the glyphosate. But if you if you don't feed them eggs, you know, you could feed them MSM, for example, you know, a supplement, a little bit of MSM, which you can buy as a powder, and you could put a little bit of that, although it has a pretty pungent taste, so you don't want to overdo that. But, you know, you got to help your dogs get what they want. And a typical dog will go after a fresh egg. They love to eat fresh eggs. Why is that? Because it's got what they need in it. You know, they are often the best judge, as long as it's not an artificial scent or something. If it's a natural substance, the dog or the cat tends to know what they need better than we do.
Yeah. And it's fun to watch a dog eat an egg, because you can tell they love the yolk. And so they tolerate the white at first, licking up the white, and then they get it. And then they just wait to the very end. At least ours do this. And then at the very end, they just dig into the yolk. And then because that's where all the nutrients is. It's almost like, you know, they're just teasing themselves for a minute until they get to the good stuff.
Yeah, that's true. It's funny. I have some of my dogs know how to open eggs carefully and not spill the contents, and then lick it out. But I have one dog, every time you give her an egg, she just immediately drops it to break it. And then she starts licking it up. Like, she knows I have to drop it to break it open.
Okay. And, yeah. And you know, that's another thing too, is, you know, you can feed them the shell too. It's actually a good source of calcium for the pets and
Sure.
and some other minerals that are in the shell. So we'll break it up, break up the shell and scatter it. Now, you know, dogs eat, they eat anything as long as it tastes, as long as the overall taste is good. It doesn't matter what's in their bowl. They're going to eat it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So this is called The Truth About Pet Cancer. It's a free docuseries that begins streaming March 21st. You can sign up for it at brightyou.com. You can sign up right now. It's free to view. And before we wrap this up, Ty, you want to tell us a little bit about some of the experts that are featured in the docuseries?
Yeah, sure. Dr. John Robb that I just mentioned is featured. One of our favorite people, I don't know that you spoke with him or not, but Dr. Marty Goldstein. You familiar with Dr. Marty?
No, I haven't spoken with him. I've never interviewed him, but I've heard his name. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So Dr. Goldstein, he's got a clinic or a veterinary clinic up in Boston, New York area. I visited it several years ago, but a really great holistic veterinary clinic. He's got his own brand of pet food, and which is like, it's kind of like raw kibble, raw organic, healthy
like
kibble.
For all freeze dried components?
Yeah. Freeze dried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
He's just great. He's great. You know, we interviewed Dr. Marlene Siegel. She's got a veterinary practice down in Tampa area. She spoke at a couple of our conferences. So did Dr. Goldstein. And she's got a fantastic practice down there, very holistic. Got a lot of the hyperbaric oxygen chambers and types of different types of machines for pets, as well as, you know, great nutritional direction and so forth. But a lot of really cool machines down there for Dr. Siegel. So she's featured. I'm trying to think who else we featured. You know, there's several experts that are featured that aren't necessarily pet cancer specific, but like Sayer G, we interviewed. I think there's actually some clips of you speaking on cancer in here as well, even though it was from another interview. But it's generic things about cancer, like that the cancer cells, whether it's human or pet cancer, they thrive on glucose. They thrive mm-hmm. on sugar. They're anaerobic, not aerobic type cells. A lot of those things, the mitochondrial connection, which is why Dr. Thomas Seyfried is in here. And, you know, he's a well-known professor at Boston College with human cancer, but a lot of things that he said applied to pet cancer because it's a mitochondrial dysfunction, you know, and it's caused by chronic inflammation, then causes the cell to morph. It causes the fermentation process to occur, and it causes the cell to turn cancerous. A lot of these things that are kind of across the board with cancer. So we have some other experts that aren't necessarily veterinarians that you would recognize in there as well.
Okay, that's fantastic. So again, it's 10 days. There's 10 episodes. They begin streaming March 21st. You can register at brightyou.com. It's free to watch with an optional purchase if you want to support the program and download all the files and watch them at your leisure. So thank you so much, Ty, for joining me today. It's always a pleasure to get to speak with you. Thank you for putting together this docuseries. I know you're going to help people help their loved pets, you know, live longer and healthier lives. So thank you so much for joining me today. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, yeah, thanks, Mike. I appreciate you having me on. And also, I just checked, you are definitely in this.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking at the transcript. So you're in it multiple times. So yeah, and it's a very well produced. It's fun to watch. It's very educational. So I encourage you to watch it. And thanks, Mike. Appreciate you.
All right. Thank you so much. And thank you all for watching today. Mike Adams here with brightvideos.com. There's also a part two of this interview that you can find at brightvideos.com once it's published. So be sure to check that out. And thank you for watching today. Take care. Yes, the world is getting crazy. But here at the Health Ranger store, we're putting together a survival supply assortment for you. If you go to healthrangerstore.com/survival, you'll see what we put together for you, including iodine and Iosat. That's a specific brand name of potassium iodide that's FDA approved. Or we have the nascent iodine here, which is less expensive in terms of the iodine that you get. These are available in case things go nuclear. It's clear that you will not be able to find any of this for sale anywhere. All the inventories will be wiped out like what happened after Fukushima in 2011. So if you want to get your hands on some iodine, this is a chance to get it right now. healthrangerstore.com/survival. In addition, we have many other survival items for you here, including some silver solutions, some spirulina available in bulk and at a discount, and then a large assortment of storable organic food that's laboratory tested, including our Ranger Bucket sets. Here's a 195-day supply. We've got the mini buckets, and we've also got number 10 cans available of freeze-dried fruits and vegetables and other things like miso soup powder. Here's some of the buckets. There's a big variety available. Here are some of the number 10 cans right here. Remember, a lot of people are missing fruit. They don't have enough vitamin C in their storable food. So, you know, getting bananas and pineapples and strawberries, especially, again, certified organic, freeze-dried. That is the highest quality with the highest nutrient preservation that you can get in any kind of a storable food format. All of this is available right now and so much more. Just go to healthrangerstore.com/survival. And because the freeze-dried foods last for so long, you know, even if you don't eat them this year or next year, just keep them on the shelf. They're going to last a very long time with good preservation, a long shelf life, and they will have value no matter what happens in the world. Now, of course, I'm praying for peace. I'm praying for de-escalation. I don't want to see World War III break out, and I certainly don't want it to go nuclear. But we're dealing with insane times and insane leaders and insane situations. Who knows what could happen tomorrow or next week? Disruptions could happen here in the United States. There could be, you know, domestic attacks that disrupt supply chains here in the U.S. So stock up early, stock up now, get your emergency food, emergency medicine, iodine, anything else that you think that you might need. Get it now. And by doing so, by shopping with us, you'll be supporting our platforms and our AI engines that we offer for free. That's funded in part by sales from our store. So shop with us at healthrangerstore.com/survival and help yourself get prepared and also help us bring you more free tools and platforms that can keep you informed no matter what happens in the world. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for your support. God bless you all. Take care.